Good morning, good morning. This is KTPCB. KTPCB, we are mobile and listening for any calls.
This is KE2GDQ, listening for any calls.
Good morning, Brad. Welcome back. How's your recovery?
Thank you. Recovery's been kind of slow. Had a little bit of a rough night again last night, but I think I might have finally turned the corner.
What kind of illness has been setting you back, and was it a damper for your 4th of July weekend, or did this come up after the weekend?
4th of July weekend was good. Sunday, we decided to get some Chinese food, and sometime through the night, unknown to the other one, myself, we both got sick.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Well, it sounds like it lasted a little bit. It's interesting because we were out Sunday, and we were out kayaking, and we went out to eat, and I ate a lot, and I had a bit of a stomach ache Sunday night, which kept me up late, but back to work on Monday, and everything was over by then. But it sounds like whatever you had lasted a little bit. I don't think we heard you on the air yesterday, either.
I did not sleep good at all Monday night. Had planned on just getting back into routine, but just did not sleep good at all. Was up, I don't know, 4 or 5 times through the night. Didn't sleep. So I missed yesterday. But last night wasn't a great night of sleep, but things starting to feel better. So hopefully today's a good day.
Definitely sorry to hear that, and hopefully, day by day gets better and better. Definitely very different from what I had. I think I ate too much. it's been a while since we chatted with you. A lot has transpired, and it's been pretty quiet here in the morning, and even as I'm traveling in, you know, right as I'm about to walk in the door, Ross is either popping in there or I just missed him. I know I just missed him yesterday. Now that I'm thinking about it, did I miss him both days? No, maybe I caught him Monday but not Tuesday. Something like that.
Wow, yeah, it does sound like a quiet morning. Yesterday I even stayed home from my steel therapy. Just didn't feel up to it. Didn't feel like I could, the drive might be too long, if that makes sense. So I ended up staying home from that, too. So hopefully get back on track today.
I know you're not in a situation to maybe even agree with this, but sometimes I feel like when you get sick, you know, the different ways that one can get sick. You know, whether it's a head cold, chest cold, stomach bug, let's say a pulled muscle, you pull something in your back or something. I would say the stomach one is uncomfortable as it can be. For me, would be the one that I would choose. It seems like there's always an end in sight. That's one that doesn't seem to continue as long as you don't have, you know, Crohn's disease or something, but you know that it has a chance of being done in anywhere between, you know, 24 and 72 hours, where sometimes head cold, sinus infections can last weeks, you get that lingering cough. So maybe you have the best of the possible, I'll say, options, the types of sicknesses, if you will.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. You know that generally it's going to clear up in a short period of time, and you just got to ride it out. I have a question for you about 3D printing and stringing. So this 3D printer, I printed the Benchy boat. I think you're probably familiar with that. And I'm getting a lot of stringing. And when I look at the slicer and it shows me the travel paths, well, lo and behold, that is where the stringing's coming from. I've backed off on my PLA temperature. I've changed my retraction time and distance, and I'm still getting stringing. Any other suggestions?
Yes. So there's a couple different things. There's three different calibrations that you can do, and you actually mentioned, you sort of mentioned all of them. So there's obviously temperature is one, and so temperature is going to be more about, definitely extrusion quality, layer lines, layer adhesion and strength. There is retraction, pulling the filament back before it does a travel. There is retraction, so there's retraction distance and retraction speed. So how fast it tears away and how far it moves away from the tip of the nozzle inside when it's driving the extruder back. There are calibration utilities. So I guess what I would first ask you is which slicer you're using.
The slicer I'm using is Charlie Uniform Romeo Alpha Kira.
So up in the menu or toolbar, I guess it's in the menu system. In one of those, there's a calibration option for calibration tools. I forget exactly how to get to it, but in there you will see options where you can. I gotta now think about it if it's in there by default, or do you have to go to that little marketplace and install an extension for it? I guess maybe take a look, see in those toolbars, but there is a standard test where you do a what they call a temp tower, and it creates this little tower, and you look at the different sections, and each section, it'll do so many layers at one temperature, it'll bump, 5 degrees, the next temperature, it'll bump 5 degrees, and then you pick the one with the best quality. Then there's a retraction distance, you'll run that, and then a retraction speed. And the ones with the retraction distance and speed are the ones that address the stringing. I'm going to pause a second. And it doesn't do the two retraction variables together, at least with that default calibration. And again, it's not so much of a calibration, but to figure out where the sweet spot is. So you might have to run one, pick the best distance, then set that distance, run the speed, and then pick the best speed, set both of those, and then maybe go back and forth a couple times, but so long as you're not changing to some odd, crazy filament, whichever you pick, they'll normally work pretty good. You definitely don't want too much retraction distance, otherwise you'll start getting holes and some other weird effects going on in your prints. The other thing that can help with that is Zeha, but that's more about leaving deposits on that layer before it does its travels.
Okay. Well, I did change a couple of things, but maybe not enough. I did watch a couple of YouTube videos on this Viper. They're videos, so I got to take that with a grain of salt. Their Benchy looked really good, no stringing, so I was talking to John Chavone, and he mentioned that PLA, he keeps his in airtight containers with a desiccant. So I bought those, haven't done that yet. But my basement's really relatively dry. So, but because I didn't, he thought that maybe it was caused by moisture in the filament.
Yeah, I think John's, I don't want to say almost exclusively, but for all the ESD stuff, I think he's pretty much exclusively switched over to nylon, which is extremely hygroscopic, and that is a big, big problem. So you'll get the water expansion turning into steam and popping and all these weird artifacts in your prints as it goes through the extruder. PLA is less susceptible. I definitely do put desiccant in my storage bins that I keep filament in long term, but the stuff that I'm using short term just sits on the shelf, and my AMS doesn't have a dryer, and I really don't get those problems. Maybe we're drier than some other places as well, but yeah, doing the retraction distance and retraction speed test, I think we'll show you as it changes the speed as it goes up the little the print test piece or changes the distance. I would do the distance first. You'll see the stringing decrease, and it'll be obvious which you want to target.
All right, I'm going to give that a try because I printed a calibration cube with some PLA that Berger had given me, and that actually looked pretty good, except maybe I tried to take it off too soon and the bed was still a little warm, but overall it measured right about where it should be, you know, with it should have been 20 millimeters, it was like 19.98 millimeters or something, so really, really close. Then I went to print the Benchy, and I ran out of filament, and then so I ordered more filament. And got the strings. So I did look into that. So I think I will change my retraction distance a little bit more and see what happens. I want to run one more today.
Okay. So I just did a quick Google search, and it said that those tests are not in Cura by default. So up in the right hand side, there's the Cura Marketplace. And basically, it's a free extension, and it's the auto tower generator. And unless they now include it by default, but according to Google, it says it's not. The auto tower generator gives you a slew of pre-made models, and basically, there's custom G-code that runs with those that changes the temperature, changes the retraction distance, changes the speed, but they're all independent tests. The one thing you do have to be careful with is if you choose to add a G-code modifier to something, it will stay linked to that instance of Cura. So if you clear the build plate and you load something new, just always keep in mind whether or not your modified G-code script is still there or not. And you can see it in the bottom right where I think that's where you go to hit slice. There'll be a little tab hanging off of that button down there that shows you that modified code running. Sometimes you gotta click on that and clear it out. But yeah, the auto.
All right. Yeah. I did see the marketplace. I did breeze through there. I didn't look at all the stuff that's in there. So I will go back and look for the auto tower generator and see what that can do for me.
There may be others now, but I think that's the one I was using that was pretty nice and gave you a lot of options. But you know what you're looking for. So at some of the, you know, the test generators, tower generators. It should be labeled as such, and you'll be able to quickly and easily create a test to help you come up with the best parameters.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's a big help. I'm probably going to give it a try here in the next, probably sometime after 7.
The other thing, too, is I think you said you couldn't find it, didn't have it, or maybe somebody provided it to you, Eric maybe provided it to you, that owl. And maybe it's kind of a moot point at this point, but AnyCubic, they may even have it on their website, the G-code that you can download, which would have normally been on the SD card when you purchase the machine. You know, they always have some type of print on there so that you can run as your first print, and if that prints well, the machine's in good working order, I'm sure that G-code has all the best practice parameters in there, you know, and that's kind of like a nice sanity check, but I know that OWL takes a long time to print, unnecessarily long to do a quick test, but there's no slicer settings in there. It's all preset from the factory, so long as your machine hasn't been modified with different stepper motors, with different steps per millimeter or whatnot, it should just run.
I did see the OWL G-code on, I think, the Cura website that I was on, or some other website. I did see it. I didn't download it at that particular time, but I will do that and run that and look at the G-code to see how that runs. I will definitely do that.
Like looking at the, you know, firmware versus the source code, it's not really going to give you the reason why the moves were defined for that G-code. It's just going to tell it which direction to move, how fast to move, how far to move the extruder, when. That's all the G-code's going to tell you. I think you're really better off from a nailing the correct parameter and understanding how the parameters affect your output is to just do the retraction, distance and speed, do the temp tower, and yeah, you're probably better off just doing that because the OWL is really not going to tell you too much. But I've got 647. I'm just chatting away and losing track of time, so I'm gonna pop out. I'm gonna say 7-3. Maybe Ross is about to jump in, and maybe he's been trying to get in, but I've been queued up. All right, I'm gonna let you go, and I'll catch up with you probably tomorrow. This is K2PCB. I'll listen out for your final, but then I'm gonna run.
Thanks, Travis, for all the help on the printing. I will definitely give those a try. 73 to you today, and this is K2GDQ. We will talk to you tomorrow. KC2PDQ, this is KD2GDQ. Are you there?
KD2GDQ, KC2PDQ. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ross. How have you been? I haven't been on the last couple of days. I was sick as a dog on Monday morning.
Yeah, you're saying in your text, what is it, just a sinus thing or stomach bug or something?
Most likely food poisoning. My wife and I, well, we got Chinese Sunday night, and she fell asleep on the couch, and I was upstairs, and both about the same time through the night, unbeknownst to the other, we both got sick, and in the morning when we started talking, I told her and she told me, and I go, oh, it's got to be the Chinese. That was the only thing that was in common. She seemed to recover a lot quicker than I did. I had it even a little bit through last night. I, I think it finally turned the corner. So hopefully that hopefully it's gone now. But yeah, that's what we're pretty sure it was.
Well, that's unfortunate, especially for the holiday weekend. Of course, you know, you're retired. You get holidays, you get weekends all week. So. Yeah, it's unfortunate that happened. I figured he maybe got sick from, a carnival or something, or someplace where he went, like, he put the firefighters or something, they had something to eat there. But, yeah, my course was very, very busy. Did too much. I actually came to work to relax.
Yeah, I remember those days, you know, people would say, you know, how was your weekend or how was your time off? And I say, well, I came back to get some rest. I came back to work to get some rest. You weren't busy with the fire department, were you?
Outside of the norm, not really. Well, it just, that was kind of nice, too. Believe it or not, I was probably busier the day you see me at field day. We were there versus the 4th of July. So, yeah. Just our normal couple first day calls. Well, luckily, no fire calls or anything, so that was nice. Yeah, I don't like those, what they call those lanterns. I don't know if you've seen those. When they light them, they go up, but they come down on fire, and then on people's roof and stuff, which starts their roof on fire. Surprised they haven't outlawed those yet.
No, I haven't seen those. The fireworks that we had was just ground effect stuff, you know, would go up maybe 10 feet with sparklers and then, you know, have some boomers, you know, they would just crack. Nothing bigger than that, at least where we were at.
Yeah, I dropped the ball kind of on that for my daughter. I was going to get some fireworks, but I never did. Just was so busy, but, you know, I know my fixing my parents' house and doing stuff for them, and I was putting this playground up for my daughter, and before you know it, it's like, oh, it's 4th of July. I'm like, okay, here we are. So, yeah, we did we just pretty much vegged at the house. We went to see the parade in Akron, went to that. And, yeah, that was about it. For the 4th, we kind of just vegged at home.
Yeah, Friday was kind of our busy day. The 4th, we just kind of hung out here for a while. Then we went to our son-in-law's parents' house for a cookout. That was good. You know, we didn't stay late. Came home, and I didn't even watch the Lancaster fireworks. I went to bed because I was going to shoot Sunday morning, which is early, which I did, and then just hung out the rest of the day Sunday until, and then Sunday night, well, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, like, fortunately, I got to get some parts for that, for that playground. It's a rainbow playground set, so I got to go. I could probably go to Alden Pools. They're a dealer with them, and I think I could get parts through them. One of the support beams, I mean, it's still functional, but it's kind of punky. And obviously, it's the one that holds the swings up, and I would rather feel safer with a brand new solid piece of, you know, a beam that supports that and stuff, the one that's there. It's like I said, I could actually bend it myself, so I'm like, I don't feel confident with this one, so I think I'm going to go buy a new brand new piece of wood.
I think that's a good idea, Ross. Yeah, if it feels punky, it's just going to get worse over time, and probably rather quickly, especially in our moist environment. So yeah, for what it costs, I think that's the right, prudent decision.
Well, Brad has a short, sweet one, but I got to get in there. I know. I heard you and Travis talk a lot, which is good. Nice to see you guys on air. So I got to get in there today. So, KD2GDQ, KC2CET. I will talk to you Friday. Tomorrow's my Thursday. 73.
73 is Ross. This is KE2GDQ, and we will talk to you on Friday.